Adicho is a Lakota phrase that means those things that are awesome, great, or very beautiful. Since each day is given to us by the Creator to experience life, we should be seeking to find the Adicho in each day. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Adicho podcast. This is our second episode, and it is titled, More Than Me, Generosity. But before we get started, for those of you who don't know, my name is Raymond Kidd, and I am the founder and executive director of a nonprofit organization called New Hope Rising, Inc., or NHR for short. Our mission is empowering youth to realize phenomenal potential. Currently, aside from our webpage, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and now here as a podcast. Man, God is good. Before I get too far along, as always, I want to give a quick and special shout-out to my Shunkaku younger brother, Benjamin Thomas Hollowhorn, and all of the Ayate, or the people, back in South Dakota, specifically those on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation and in the Wounded Knee community. So, since this is only our second podcast, let me briefly identify what we're about. In a nutshell, we seek to have an everlasting impact on today's youth through providing material and resources relating to a character development. The intent is to provide guidance and insight through our products and services that will help today's youth employ wisdom so they can realize phenomenal potential. Did you catch that? I said phenomenal potential. Not okay, not mediocre, not good, or even great. No, I said phenomenal. So what do I mean by that? Well, to be phenomenal means to be extraordinary, remarkable, impressive, outstanding, astonishing, or incredible. In fact, the one who is recognized as phenomenal can even be seen as unbelievable. Now I ask, how can one get to the point of being seen as phenomenal? Well, it all starts as a mindset. What does the individual believe about themselves? Whether we know it or not, and furthermore, like it or not, we are all products of our environment. Therefore, it may either be in a positive or a negative sense that we see ourselves. This is really a key point, as many of us can speak from experience. There are some truly messed up environments out there. Statistically, many of us start off our lives in environments that are far less than ideal, environments where there is constant dysfunction. Things such as fights and abuse, whether physical, emotional, psychological, sexual, or involving substances. These environments may be within our biological family, but then again, they may be in the context of a foster or adopted one, or possibly in the absence of one altogether, as is in the sense of either being a ward of the state, in a group home, or even homeless. The point here is that very few, if any of us, have the ideal family. On top of that, we have to deal with the one that we find ourselves in. Very rarely, if ever, do we get a chance to choose our family. Oh, and for those that do get the opportunity to choose, as in the case with adoption, I can assure you that there are days where they ask themselves, why in the world did I choose to be here? In last month's podcast, I interjected the old saying about the grass being greener on the other side of the fence. Well, from my years of participating in this thing called life, the thing I've found to be true more often than not is that the grass is only greener because there's more stuff over there. Call it fertilizer, manure, excrement, or crap, nevertheless, it's there, and it's not until you find yourself on the other side do you find it. Because none of it can be seen from your current side of the fence, even if you were to climb up on that fence. But I'm here to tell you that there is good news, and that is that no one has to be a victim of their environment. No one has to live confined by the barriers imposed or associated to a particular environment. How can I say that? Because, praise God, I personally broke free of all the ugly environments that I grew up in. In our first podcast, I briefly shared that I had been raised in a highly dysfunctional home, one that involved a highly abusive, alcoholic stepfather who blamed every problem in his life on either myself or my mom. This man, who had been in my life from the time I was 3 months old until I was 14, abused me physically, emotionally, and psychologically. Because of his attitude and actions, I had also been in foster care a couple of times, and had even lived in a group home for a while. Due to his extremely authoritarian and disciplinarian personality, once he was out of my life, I was out of control. It started out with defying simple rules and instructions. You know, the seemingly little and insignificant things, but that rapidly escalated. Eventually, it resulted in my hanging out with the wrong people, becoming a substance abuser, having some minor gang involvement, dropping out of high school twice, as well as a plethora of other things that I'm not proud of. Now, I share this with you not to make anyone feel sorry for me or to even try to compare, as I know that there are those out there, maybe even listening to this today, whose lives are or have been far worse than mine. However, I do share this with you to say that these cycles can be broken, but it's solely up to the individual. Years ago, when I started working with you, someone told me something that has stuck with me ever since, and that is, they don't care what you know until they know you care. So I say all this to those who are listening to this podcast. You're not hearing this just because. You're hearing it because I honestly care. No, in all likelihood, we haven't met, at least not yet anyway. But the bottom line is this, that I've walked in the same path as many of those listening to this podcast, and my heart aches for you. Why? Because I know the pain that you deal with on a daily basis, whether it be that you don't know what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, or if that place is even safe, how you'll face the bully, or if you'll be accepted or rejected by others based on the color of your skin, the clothes you wear, or even the neighborhood you happen to live in. These, among a number of other issues commonly faced as a teen, can make life a living hell. So yes, I get it. As I had mentioned in our intro in episode 1, these podcasts will meet the following criteria. They will always be 20 minutes or less. They'll always be related to the blog topic of the month for NHR. And always, it will have the God or Jesus aspect interwoven into it. So this month's topic is on generosity. Specifically, I want to really address the heart of the topic. Yes, pun was intended there, as it really is a matter of the heart. To move away from the me mentality that so many in our society seem to have today. According to the website Center for Generational Kinetics, CGK, which can be found at genhq.com, that's Gen, G-E-N-H-Q, all lowercase, .com. There are 5 generations that make up our society today, which from the most recent or youngest to the oldest are Gen Z, iGen, or Centennials, and they were born between 1996 and a date yet to be determined. Next is the Millennials, or Generation Y, who were born between 1977 and 1995. Then you have Generation X, which were born between 1965 and 1976. Then you have my group, the Baby Boomers, those who were born between 1946 and 1964. I'll note that I'm in the very latter end of this group. Last, we have the Traditionalists, or the Silent Generation, who were born during or before 1945. Since the audience of this podcast falls pretty much in the Centennials, iGen, or Gen Z grouping, we'll focus on what CGK found in their most recent 2016 through 2018 research. Here are just a few quick bullets concerning this group, which I'll simplify as Gen Z. In 2018, they were found to be, one, heavily impacted by online influencers, with 45% or more following 10 online influencers, and with 1 in 10 following more than 50 online influencers. They were also found to be addicted to their smartphones, in that 95% of Gen Z ages 13 to 22 currently have a smartphone, and about 26% of them can't put their phone away, even to go to sleep. 29% of Gen Z are on their smartphones after midnight every night of the week. They were also found to be needing more frequent feedback while working. 66% of Gen Z needs feedback from their supervisors at least every few weeks in order to stay at a job. They were also found to be self-centered, seeking acceptance. Between 43 and 49% of Gen Z females are into posting a selfie on Snapchat, either in a photo, 43%, or in a video, 49%, as opposed to males, which are at 30% and 32% respectively. They also were found to be highly conscious consumers. 68% of Gen Z readers reads at least 3 reviews, and 16% read more than 9 before they'll make a first-time purchase with their own money. I believe this last one helps support their findings from 2017, where CGK identified Gen Z as the throwback generation. In 2017, their research found that they were more fiscally conservative, in other words, more financially oriented, and already thinking about retirement. In fact, 12% of Gen Z are already saving for retirement, and 21% of them had savings accounts before they were age 10. They were also found that earning their own money rather than just receiving it as a gift, it was found that 77% of Gen Z earned their own spending money through freelance work, a part-time job, or earned an allowance. They also found in the 2017 research that they unexpectedly held a more critical view of advertisements, which directly impacts their trustworthiness. Surprisingly, it was found that YouTube ads involving a real person were trusted more than any other source. Yet, in 2016, the CGK found through their research that 42% believes that social media affects how they feel about themselves. 50% would use their phone to look up a better price while they were physically shopping at a retail store. And this is interesting. 23% at the end of the Obama presidency felt that the U.S. is headed in the right direction, while 38% felt that it wasn't headed in the right direction. This left 39% in a state of undecidedness. So in summary, all this information tells me that Gen Z is 1. Heavy into social media and segregating a task into a specific platform. 2. They're heavily influenced by social media, and they're very self-centered and approval-concerned. And the last thing is that they're concerned about their financial stability and that they are informed consumers, basing purchases on endorsements of products on a real person versus a figurehead, a spokesperson that is paid by a sponsor. So what's the purpose or point of bringing this research into the picture? Well, as I mentioned in the beginning of this podcast, as well as in some of my previous blogs, I address the fact that all of us are products of our environment. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that technology and the things such as social media has their place and can be used to enhance our lives. If I didn't, I wouldn't be on here and all the other platforms that I'm on. However, we must use it as a tool and not allow it to control us, for it has been shown that it can be very destructive. I believe the real matter here is that we need to ask ourselves what's more important. Should we be more concerned about the value we're getting in a purchase, or how someone can stroke our ego to keep us satisfied where we work? Or is it how others, many of whom I dare to say we may never meet face-to-face, approve of our photo or a short video clip on Snapchat or Instagram? From my perspective, I'd say no. I think we need to honestly look at the matter of values, or in other words, define what is truly important to us as an individual. The points mentioned identify a very me focus, which is the very antithesis of generosity. I mean, when you are the only one in the room and you look into a mirror, you're not seeing anyone else. It's just you. Likewise, our interactions through our electronic devices can be, and most often are, very superficial, meaning that they're shallow and one-sided. If we're so focused on our social lives, on social media, or about how we should spend our money when we buy our stuff, then how can we ever experience the joy of being generous to others? How can we truly experience the life that God, the Creator, has given us? Now, if you would, I want you to take a minute to think about this. Each day has in it 86,400 seconds. And if you subtracted 8 hours worth, or 28,800 for sleep, that would leave you with 57,600 seconds a day to do with what you will. Now think if this was given to you as money with the ability to do with it whatever you wanted to do. However, there's a catch in that. You can't save it. You either have to use it or you lose it. How valuable does it become then? In the blog, I gave the definition of generosity, which states that it is a noun, and it is defined as 1, a readiness or liberality in giving, or 2, a freedom from meanness or smallness of mind or character. That's from dictionary.com. Now think about the connection between all that has been said and this definition. Now for the God and Jesus factor. Last month, in both the podcast and the blog, we address the matter of compassion. Now, generosity is really just an extension of and a complementing aspect of compassion. So how do you think the matter of generosity is viewed from God's perspective? Well, personally, I'd say it's pretty high. First, I think about the generosity of God. To present himself as a man, Jesus, to bear the weight to redeem the world. This can be verified through the scriptures in Isaiah 53, Psalms 111, verse 9, Romans 3, 23 through 25, and chapter 8, verse 23, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 29 through 31, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, and Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Now think about the generosity in that. Jesus told us that he has gone ahead to prepare a place of mansions. This is in John 14, verses 2 through 6. Also where there are streets of gold, which is found in Revelation 21, verse 21. Or what about the fact that Jesus proclaimed the following to his disciples, which includes those who are his followers to this day, that all I have is yours. And that's in John 17, 10. Or as the Apostle Paul told Timothy, that we are to trust the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6:17. What about the fact of God telling the prophet Jeremiah, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." That's Jeremiah 29:11. Also consider how Jesus tells us not to worry during his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. For everything is God's, and he knows our needs. And finally, Jesus says, "I have come that they, everyone who accepts him, may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." That's John 10:10, New King James Version. Now, this doesn't sound like he's selfish or wanting to hold anything back from us, does it? Actually, it's quite the opposite. He, God, Jesus, was and always has been exceptionally generous. Now, if that isn't something that is out of cho, I honestly don't know what is. All I can say is, wow. So this brings us to the end of this, our second podcast. And what I want to leave you with is this thought. You are here on this earth for a very specific reason, even though you may not believe it. And regardless of where you are in your life today, you have the ability to be generous in some way, shape, or form. Sure, it may not be in the monetary form. Maybe it's in the form of an attitude. Maybe it's in the form of an ability or talent. Maybe it's in the form of time. Regardless, everyone has the ability to be generous, and it all boils down to a matter of choice. How will you choose to spend the 57,600 seconds you have each and every day to bring the Adacho into yours and somebody else's life? God bless, and may you have an Adacho day.